All right, Jehovah, say good morning. Let's begin with a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is Tes Zion 16. We are picking up on Tes Vav Amud Beis 15b, four lines up from the bottom. So let's say, so the shir this morning is dedicated by my family. Today is my grandmother's, Zichrona Livracha's yard site. So we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, the neshama of Freida Basra Moshe Yosef will have an ongoing aliyah, and the merit of Hashem, her family, a nechama. So let's begin. Four lines up from the bottom. V'ulam shalach no yadcha v'ga b'chal asher lo imlo al panecha yivarechecha. So remember, again, we're picking up in the middle of the Eov narrative. So remember, again, Eov was blessed with all kinds of wealth, a beautiful mishpacha, beautiful materialism. So what happens? The Satan says to the Ribbono Shel Olam, of course, Eov is a big tzaddik. Why? Because he has everything, but watch, begin to take it away from him. Excuse me, and you will begin to see how he will turn against you. Vayomer Hashem al Satan, hinei kol asher lo biyadcha. So God says to the Satan, fine, I give you the permission to go. Everything he has is in your hand. Rak eilav al tishlach yadcha. But again, you may not cast your hand against Eov himself. So I will allow you to go ahead and literally take everything he has and go ahead and remove everything. Yes, test him with everything, but you may not take his life. So then the story unfolds. Vayhi ayom ubanav ubnosu ochum meshosim yayin vesachim abachar. Umalach bo el Eov vayomer habakar hayu harshos. So again, the pasuk says that on that day, all of Eov's sons and daughters were having a meal by the eldest brother, and a messenger comes to Eov and says to Eov, habakar hayu harshos v'ha'asonos ro'os al yideim. It's a very strange statement. The oxen were plowing, or the cows were plowing, and the donkeys were grazing. So the Gemara says, what does that mean? Maya bakar hayu harshos v'ha'asonos ro'os al yideim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Milami, it's actually very beautiful. Shit imu ha'kodesh baruch hu li'yov tap of tes zayin amud aleph. Me'ein Olam Haba. That the Ribbono Shel Olam had given Eov a little taste of Olam Haba. Now how is it that Hashem Baruch Hu gave Eov a taste of Olam Haba? Now what the Gemara is picking up on is the fact that the pasuk says, the oxen plowed and the donkeys ate. Which indicates what? That as soon as the oxen plowed, the donkeys ate. In other words, that which was planted immediately, sprouted immediately. So why is that Me'ein Olam Haba? This is actually beautiful. Rashi says, Me'ein Olam Haba, Kedichsiv, Hara Violaret Yachtov, excuse me, Hara Violaret Yachtov, Hirayon Valeda Biom Echot, Hachidar Shalim Sechas Shabbos. This is actually quite beautiful. So the Gemara says, according to the Pasuk of Yirmiyahu, that in the Messianic era, literally, pregnancy and birth will occur in the same day. In other words, that in the Messianic era, somehow it'll be a time of instantaneous results. Why is this Imos HaMashiach? Because we know this well, that one of the greatest difficulties in this world is you could put in effort for something, but you have no idea if your effort is going to produce fruit. In a literal sense, and it's true in everything, you could put in the most incredible amount of ishtadlus, effort, but you do not know whether or not you're going to get your desired result. That's a result of the sin of Adam HaRishon, where the Ribbono Shel Olam says that what? You're going to go ahead and you're going to plant whatever you're going to plant, the kots v'dardar titzmach, and the thorns and the thistles will sprout. In other words, that in this world, the post-Adam HaRishon world, even if you plant something, you may not get what you want. In the Messianic era, all of that changes. In the Messianic era, whatever effort you put in, you will surely reap. So apparently Eov had a little bit of a taste of this, that whatever he planted automatically came to fruition. He says, Odzem and Dabar v'zeba. So as this messenger is talking to Eov, another messenger came. Vayomer ish Elokim. So what happens? As one messenger is talking to Eov, another messenger came and says, a fire came and consumed the sheep. Odzem v'dabar v'zeba, v'yomer kastim samu shlosha rashim, v'yef shitu es al ha'gimol v'yikachum. As that messenger speaking, another messenger comes, a group of soldiers from Kastim came, took the camels. Odzem v'dabar v'zeba, v'yomer another messenger came, v'yomer banecha u'benosecha, Uchlim v'shosin yayim beis achim habachar. Your sons and your daughters were all feasting together in the home of your eldest, of their eldest brother. V'hinei ruach gedola ba'a me'evar hamidbar v'yiga ba'arba pinos habayis v'yipol al hanarim. So again, all of this misfortune. So now Eov is told, his children were all dining together. A large wind came, knocked down the walls of the house and killed all of his children. So Eov has just heard, Eov has just heard that he's lost his children and he's lost his flocks. Vayakam Eov vayikra es milo. Eov got up, he tore his clothing. Vayagas es roshoy, pulled the hair out of his head. Vayomer, and he says something in such a profound statement. Arom yatsasi mi beten imi va'arom ashuv shama. I left my mother's womb unclothed, and I will go back, and I will go back to the ground. I'll go back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu unclothed as well. Hashem Nasan, v'Hashem Lakach, Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach. Hashem has taken, Hashem has given, Hashem has taken, the name of Hashem shall be blessed. Now just so you understand how profound these words are, we know we see these words, Rahman al-Islam, by Tzidu Kadin. But God forbid a person has to bury a loved one, we incorporate this phrase of Hashem Nasan, Hashem Lakach, Yehi Shem Hashem Mevorach. It's considered to be the ultimate statement of acceptance of judgment. A recognition that everything comes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that Ribbono Shel Olam takes back what he wants when he sees fit. Yet, despite all of this, meaning despite all of this misfortune, Eov did not go ahead, Eov did not sin, v'lo nasan tifla, he did not complain against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It goes on, v'hi ayom, v'yavo b'nei Elokim l'yatsev. So again, the pasuk then goes on to say that it was on that day, and the b'nei Elokim, which is a reference to the Malachim, come and gather around HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not only do the Malachim come, but the Satan comes as well. V'yomer Hashem el ha-Satan, so God says to the Satan, where are you coming from? So Vayan Hasatan as Hashem Vayar Mishot Baaretz. I am coming from literally touring around the land, flying around the land. Amr Lefanov, so what is the Satan doing on the earth? Amr Lefanov, Ribono Shel Olam Shatati B'chol HaOlamos. I have literally flown around the world. V'lo Matzasi Ka'avdecha Avram. And I found no one like your servant Avram Avinu. In other words, I just want to point out, to get like Shevach, to get praised by the Satan, is big stuff. So I say, Avraham Avinu is being praised by the Ribbono, you see, by the Satan. So I say, I've seen your entire world, and I've never seen anyone like Avraham Avinu. Why? What did the Satan admire about him? Shamar Talo, now this is interesting. You see, one would have thought that the Satan would have admired, the Satan would have said he was willing to sacrifice his son. Interesting, that's not what the Satan says. Shamar Talo, we saw this yesterday. Shamar Talo, because you said to him, first wide line of Osai Tezaina with Aleph. He said to Avraham Avinu, get up, walk across the land, the length and the width, because I'm going to give it to you. And yet, yet, when it came time for him to bury Sarah Imenu, he didn't even own a piece of land. Not only did he not, but he could not get a piece of land. Instead, he had to purchase it at top dollar from Ephron. And yet what? Yet again, he never complained against you. But it's an incredible, incredible idea that this was the greatest need of Avraham Avinu, that even when there was something that was his, that he felt that there should have been an entitlement to him, nevertheless, when he had to pay for it, he did not complain against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomer Hashem el ha-Satan, hasamta lipcho el avdi Eov, so ki ein kamo ba'aretz. The guy says, really, you think Avraham Avinu was great? Tell me, have you gone to see my servant Eov? For there is none like him throughout the land. Va'odenu machzik bitumaso, v'tesiseni bo leva'alochinam. And this is interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to the Satan, you still maintain your position and you provoke me to swallow him up for no reason. Am Rabbi Yochanan, il mali mikra kasu. Rabbi Yochanan says, had the pasuk not said it, ef shala omra, it would be impossible to say, ke adam shemasisin oso venises. God sounds like a person who was provoked to take action and he did so. So in other words, what it seems to be over here is that the Satan is, excuse me, Chodesh Baruch Hu saying to the Satan, you provoked me. In other words, Eov was such a good man, and yet for some reason you provoked me to go, you baited me to test him, and I took the bait. B'masni satana, yoreit umat'a, va'ola umargiz. The way the Satan works is he goes down to the earth, umasa, and he causes us to make mistakes, and after we make mistakes, ola umargiz, he comes up, and he stirs up the heavenly court against us. Nota Rishus, then after finding us guilty in the heavenly court, he gets permission, v'notel neshama, and he takes our soul. V'ayon ha-satan ha-sashem v'ayomer, ar ba'ad ar v'chol asher le'ish yitin ba'ad nafsho, to which the Satan says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, yes, I know you think that Eov is so great, because even though he lost his children, and even though he lost his wealth, he never complained against you, but that's because he has his health. Right? And as long as a person has his health, of course he's not going to complain against you. Ulam, shalach na yadcha v'gal atzma v'al basaro, im lo al panecha yivarechecha. So, but yeah, the Satan says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but watch, take away his health, and you'll see how quickly he will turn against you. Vayomar Shem la Satan, Hino biyadcha ach es nafsho shamar. Hashem says to the Satan, fine, behold, I place Eov in your hand, do with him what you want, but you can do anything you want to him, but you can't take his life. Vayetzi ha-Satan me'es p'nei Hashem, Vayach es Eov. So the Satan leaves the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he strikes Eov with incredible illness. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Kashat Sara Shal Satan, Yoser Mishal Eov. It's a very interesting statement. So Rabbi Yitzchak said, the Tzara of the Satan, right, the pain of the Satan, was even more intense than the pain of Eov himself. How so? Mashal Le'eved Sha'amar Lo Rabo, Shavar Chavis V'Shamar Esyeno. This can be compared to a master who said to his servant, break the cask, but make sure you don't lose any wine. In other words, the idea of a visiting suffering upon someone, intense suffering, but yet not allowing them to die, apparently was a very difficult thing for the Satan. So, not that you have to have rachmanas on the Satan, but again, yeah, don't feel bad for him. But again, this was because his goal always is to take the neshama of the individual. So, Amar Reish Lakish, who's Satan? Who Yetzirahara, who Malach HaMas. Well, this is actually a very important statement. Reish Lakish says these three entities are one and the same. The Satan, the Yetzirahara, and the Malach HaMas are all one, which is interesting. There's a lot to say on this, because these are, meaning, the Satan, we'll see why all of this is true. The Satan and Yetzirahara, I understand. Why they're also identified with death is because, remember, the Satan and the Yetzirahara, their goal, as we're going to see later on, is not to go ahead and get man to fail. The goal, ultimately, is to be the catalyst for man's growth. The idea of, without tension, without internal conflict and struggle, there is no mechanism for growth. Well, along those same lines, the greatest mechanism for growth is death. Because death, right, we all know that death awaits all of us, and the notion that life comes to an end is supposed to energize us to lead a more meaningful life. So all of these entities are wrapped up into one. Who's Satan, who Yetzirahara, who Malach HaMavis. Satan, so the Gemara says, who's Satan? Dichsev, Vayetzirah Satan Me'es Pnei Hashem. Who Yetzirahara Ksev Hasam, Rak Ra Kol Hayom. Because the Pasuk in Bereishis says, that the strike the Yitzhara, actually over here, reference to man, but really a reference to the Yitzhara man, is Rak Kol Yom, is evil the whole day. Uksivacha, Rak Es Nafsho Shemar, Rak Eilov Al Tishlach Yadcha. So remember again, the Gemara is picking up on the Lashon of Rak. Hu Malach HaMavis, so the Satan, the Yitzhara, is also the Malach HaMavis, Tichsev, Ach Es Nafsho Shemar, because God tells the Satan over here, do not take the life of Eov, which tells us what? Alma, Bididi Kaima. It shows us that the Satan has the power to go in and take the life of Eov. Amar Levi, Satan Upanina, the Sheshan is coming. I will say, here we see it more explicitly, and this is an amazing statement. Both the Satan and Penina. Who is Penina? Remember again, Elkanah, the father of Shmuel Hanavi, has two wives. Penina and And Chana, thank you. Penina and Chana. So remember again, Penina Baruch Hashem is blessed with children. Sefer Shmuel opens up with the story of Chana, who does not have children, every year when they come to the Mishkan. So she, Chana, is always davening for a child. So remember again, the Navi says, V'ki astot sarasa. The Navi, when speaking, as you're going to see, the Navi, when speaking about Penina, says she would agitate Chana. Now, it sounds like what she would do is she would goad Chana that Chana did not have children. So Reb Levi says that both the Satan and Penina, their intention is l'shem shamayim. What does this mean? Satan, kevan dechazil HaKadosh Baruch Hu, denat yedayte basar iov, amarchas v'shalom ninish leil rachmanusei da'avram. So I'll say, so this is amazing. So literally, it's, the Gemara says that the reason why the Satan felt the need to test Iov was because he felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was forgetting about Avram. He felt that Iov was eclipsing Avram Avinu, and therefore the Satan felt the need to go ahead and reinforce the top position of Avram Avinu by showing the spiritual frailties of Iov. Which I will say, what does that mean? Baruch Hu is not going to forget Avram Avinu. What it means over here is that the Satan perceived that Iov had become complacent in his greatness, thinking that he had reached the apex of greatness. And therefore, the Satan's job, Rabosai, is to what? Is to encourage us to be more, to test us, to push us, to create tension for us, in order that we transcend ourselves. Penina dichsiv, v'kiastot sarasa gam kas, ba'avor her ima. And again, by Penina it says that she angered her co-wife, ba'avor her ima. Ba'avor her ima, if you look at Rashi, it's the last white line in Rashi. Bavor here, ima shet Yisrael al shiakara v'tispalo. That Penina's intention was to push Chana to daven. Penina felt that Chana was not properly davening for her plight in order to go and be blessed with the gift of children. Therefore, Penina pushed her and Penina agitated her in order to go ahead and get her to daven. So we'll say, so first of all, again, going back, the reason why this Gemara is important is because theologically we now understand the concept, to whatever degree we can, Satan, Yetzahara, Malach HaMaves, the goal of this entity with these three different facets is not to get us to sin. The goal is to get us to grow. But the only way to grow is to create those tension-filled circumstances. If we succeed in them, that's where true growth in life comes from. Darshan of Acha Bar Yaakov bePapunya. So Acha Bar Yaakov Darshan in the city of Papunya. Asa Satan Nashke Lakari. So we'll say, if Acha Bar Yaakov gave over this drasha, that the Satan did everything he did l'shem shamayim, and this is amazing, the Satan came and kissed his feet. Back to Iov. So despite all of this, despite Iov having lost everything, he still did not sin with his lips. He never sinned with his lips, in that he never uttered anything inappropriate, but in his heart, he harbored great resentment against God. My kamar, so what did he say in his heart? Eretz nasna biad rasha, p'nei shofteh, yechase im lo eifo mihu. So he quotes over here, sorry, what was that? Yeah. Oh, undertone. Keep the Rashi till later. So look what he says. Eretz nasna biad rasha, p'nei shofteh yechasim lo eifo mihu. So remember again, he says in the pasuk, Eretz, so literally, Eretz nasna biad rasha, you have given the land over in the hands of the wicked, p'nei shofteh yechasim, you cover the face of the judges, im lo eifo mihu, where is he? So again, in his heart, Iov feels this incredible resentment against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rava, Bikish Iov Lafoch Kara Apia. So I'll say, literally what this means is Iov wanted to overturn the plate. Now, overturn the plate is a reference to going ahead and blaspheming and negating the existence of God. Amar Le Abaye, Lo Diber Iov Ela Keneged HaSatan. Tabai says, no. Iov's complaints were never directed towards God. Rather, Iov's complaints were directed towards the Satan. Ki Tanoim, so the Gemara says, in reality, Iov's reaction to his suffering is a machlokes Tanoim. Eretz Nasna Biad Rasha. What does it mean that he gave the land over into the hands of a Rasha, into the hands of the wicked? Rabbi Elazar Omer, Pikesh Iov Lafoch Kara Apia. So Rabbi Eliezer says that Iov wanted to literally negate his belief in God. He wanted to overturn the plate. He felt that everything he had believed must be unequivocally false. Rabbi Yoshua, Lo Dibra Iov Ila Klape Satan. No, Chas Shalom. Iyob was not expressing resentment towards God. He was expressing resentment towards the Satan. Al datcha kilo ersha ve'in miyadcha matzil. So what does this mean when it says, by your will, kilo ersha, I will not be evil. Ve'in miyadcha matzil, no one could save from your hand. Amar Rava, bikesh Iyob liftaras kol ha'olam kulo min adin. Iyob wanted to, now literally it means, wanted to exempt the entire world from divine justice. Which I will say ultimately means Iyov wanted to say that people should not be responsible for their actions because God controls everything. What does this mean? If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Lifter as kol ha'olam kulo, it's like the second line in, second of the short lines, Medino shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu lomar, sha'anu sinhein ayidei shehaKadosh Baruch Hu bara yitzhara. That we have no free will because since God created the Yitzhara, man cannot resist the will of God. Amar the father Ribonu shel olam, barasa shar parasos of stukos, barasa char parasos of klutos. God, so Iyov says to God, God, you have created the ox with split hooves, you've created the donkey with complete hooves. Barasa gan idin, barasa gehenem. You created Gan Eden, you created Gehenem. Barasa tzadikim, barasa Hashem. You created the righteous, you created the wicked. Mi ma'akev al yadcha. And Ribonu shel olam, what stops you from keeping the forces of evil in check? In other words, what Iyov was trying to say is Ribonu shel olam, you could do whatever you want. And the fact that you allow these misfortunes to happen to me indicates that what? That the truth is, to a certain degree, you can't expect me to be great, you can't expect me to be holy, when you visit these type of circumstances upon me. So it must be that at the end of the day, you've removed my free will, and at the end of the day, you've removed the free will as well in this world. So maya hajulei chavre, diyov. So what did Iyov's friends respond to him? So they respond back. What's the conversation, the response they give to him? Barak HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yetzirah, Barak HaTorah Tavlin. Iyov, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us free will. It is true he created the Yetzirah. Remember again, Yetzirah in this context means Yetzirah, Satan, Malach HaMaves. But he also gave us Torah Tavlin. We'll say Torah Tavlin means literally the Torah as the remedy. In other words, yes, the world is filled with problems, and life is filled with problems, but Torah gives us the strength to somehow find the way to navigate and find the correct disposition to respond to those problems. Darash Rava, May Dichsev Birchas Oved Alay Tavo, Falev Almana Arnin. What does it mean when it says, the blessing of the lost one is upon me, or shall come upon me, the heart of the widow shall sing. Birchas oveid alaitav omelameid sheagozel sadem yisomim. Alright, so we'll say, listen to this interesting lashon over here. Iyov would steal the fields from orphans. Now, he wouldn't literally steal the field. We're going to see what it means is, he would take property of orphans, umashpicha, he would improve it, umachzira lahen, and he would give it back to them. So Iyov would be the kind of person that would go of his own volition and improve the property of Yisomim. Falev almana arnin, and the heart of the almana will sing. Whenever there was a widow who could not get remarried, nobody wanted to marry her. Hava azil shadi shmei iluya. Iyov would say, oh, she's mishpacha, she's a relative of mine. So once she became a relative of Iyov, then what? Everybody wanted to marry to that mishpacha. Then she had yichus, then he would allow her to go out and get remarried like that. So Gemara says, Lu, what we are quotes the pasuk again, Lu shakol yishakol kaasi, vehavasi ba'ma'oznayim yisu yachad. So the pasuk says, if only you would measure my anger and my experience in the scales, shall they be taken together? Amarav, afra lupume de Iyov. Dirt should be put in the mouth of Iyov. Which Shabbos say, like I guess would be the contemporary, should wash your mouth out with soap. In other words, that, you know, what his words are blasphemous. Chavrusa klape shmaya. Well, Iyov, is God your chavrusa, that you could speak to him in such, again, plain terms? Lu yesh beinenu mochiach. Yoshis Yado al Shenenu. If there was someone between us to arbitrate our dispute, he would put his hand on both of us. So here it sounds like Iyov, is lodging his complaints against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God, I have some real tightness against you. Who is going to arbitrate our dispute? Amarav, Afra Lepume di Iyov. Dirt should go into the mouth of Iyov. Klum Yesh Evet Shemochiach Es Rabo. Is there a servant who rebukes his master? Bris Karasi Le'enai. Literally, there is a covenant that has been created with my eyes. Have I ever contemplated the Besula? Which is another way of Iyov saying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, I've always maintained a righteous disposition, and I've never looked at a woman, another woman who is not my wife. Amar Rava, Afra lupume di Iov. Iov ba'achronise. It's true that Iov never looked at another woman. Avram afilu bidi de lo estakil. Yet the greatness of Avram Avinu is that he never gazed excessively even at his own wife. Dichsib, hine na yadati ki isha yifas mar'eh at. Because remember again, as the Pasuk says, that when they're going down to Mitzrayim, Avram Avinu says to Sarah, behold, I now know that you are beautiful. And Rashi Michlal, did me'ikar lo havayadala. Rashi Chalish quotes this Gemara that says that you see that Avram Avinu did not even gaze excessively at the beauty of his own wife. So again, I will say, obviously, not a standard that we would be obligated to live up to. But again, the Gemara is just pointing out the incredible piety. Just as you see, by the way, as an ongoing theme, the constant comparison between Avram and Iov, which we'll discuss that a little bit more, but it's a fascinating comparison. The Satan saw that comparison. The Gemara sees that comparison. Gemara is right there. So the Gemara says, Kala anan vayelech ken yored sha'ol lo yale. Literally, the cloud is no longer. He who goes down to the sha'ol, to the depths, to Gehenna, will not come up. Amar Rava, mikan shekafer Iov b'tchias ha'mesim. So here you see that Iov gave up his belief in the resurrection. Go down to the sha'ol. Once you go down to death, you are not coming back. Asher b'shara, excuse me. So the pasuk over here, again, continuing Iov. Asher b'sa'ara yishufeni, v'hir ba'pitza'ai chinam. Literally, you have shattered me with the wind. V'hir ba'pitza'ai chinam, you have increased my wounds unnecessarily. Amar Rabba, Iov b'sa'ara charaf u'b'sa'ara shivu. Iov went ahead and complained against the Kodesh, or cursed God with wind, telling him that you have shattered me with your storm winds, and the Ribbono Shel Olam responds to Iov with winds as well. So Iov cursed God, so to speak, with winds. He said, you have shattered me with your winds. Amar lefan of Ribbono Shel Olam, Shema, listen to this, Shema ruach sara avra lefanecha, God, maybe there's a big wind that's blowing in front of you now. So maybe there's a big wind and it mixed you up. And maybe you confused me, Iov, with Oyev, with your enemy. In other words, why are you treating me like this? God responds to him with the wind and says to him, God responded to Iov from the whirlwind. Vayomer, Azar na gigevra chalatzecha, Eshalcha vahodieni. So God says to Iov, literally gird your loins, be a man, I'm going to ask you questions and let's see if you could answer them. Meaning you have all the questions for me, thinking like you know everything. Let me ask you, God says to Iov, let me ask you some questions and see if you could respond to them. Amar lo, God says to Iov, harbe nimin barasi ba'adam. I've created many hairs for a person. V'chol meima v'neima barasi laguma. Every hair has its own pore. Two hairs should not get sustenance from the same pore. For if two hairs were to derive sustenance from the same pore, literally it would diminish the eyesight of the person, which also means somehow it would have a negative impact on the individual if two hairs shared the same pore. And yet, I'm able to ensure that every single pore has its, every single hair has its correct pore. So if I make sure that one pore doesn't get confused with another pore, trust me, I'm not confusing Iov with Oyev. So again, literally, every drop of water has its own channel. Harbe tipin barasi ba'avin. I have created many different droplets of water in the clouds. V'chol tipa v'tipan, for every single droplet, barasi lo defus bifnei atzma. I've created its own channel. Kadesh lo yoshti tipin yosib itfus echad. In order that two droplets of water should not emerge from the same heavenly channel. Shomol shte tipin yosas mitfus echad, because if two droplets were to come from the same channel, mitash deshos es ha'arez ve'enam otsia peros. They would go ahead and they would ruin the land, and the land would not produce vegetation. Bein tipa latipa lonis chalifli. I don't get confused between one droplet and the other. Bein Iov laoyev nis chalifli. Do you think I'm going to get confused between Iov and Oyev? So we'll say, what is Chalish Baruch Hu trying to say? Rebbe Shalom is trying to say to Iov, I run a very complex world. a very complex world, and I manage even the most minute of details that you and no other mortal will even ever know about. There are plans that go into everything that occurs in life, but those plans transcend your comprehension. So what looks to you like a breakdown in divine order, what looks to you like absolute chaos, what looks to you like the absence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is in fact part of the master plan. My mashma, the high ta'ala lishna didifosi, hetero that ta'ala is lishna of a channel, amra rashila, tekhsiv ayas ta'ala kebeis asayim zera. The derech lechaz is kolos, and literally again, a pathway for the blasts of thunder in the clouds. Harbe kolos barasi bavim. I've created many different thunder blasts, with blasts of thunder in the clouds. V'chol kol v'kol barasi lo shil b'fnei atzma. Every blast has its own pathway. Kadesh lo yishtei kolos yotzis mishil echad. In order that two blasts should not come out from the same pathway, shomal yishtei kolos yotzis mishil echad, because if two blasts were to come from the same pathway, machriven es kol ha'olam. Right? So ultimately, the entire world would be destroyed. Ben kol l'kol lo nischalifli, ben iyov l'oyev nischalifli. If I don't get confused between one blast and the next, do you think I've gotten confused between Iyov and Oyev? Hayadata is ledes yale sela, cholel ayalos tishmar. So do you know, when the mountain goat gives birth? So what does this mean? Ya'alezu achzores al banel. So the mountain goat, when she gives birth, is very cruel to her children, to her offspring. What does she do? Bishash shekora aslili, at the time that she's about to give birth, Amad Beis. So, laledes ola l'rosh ahar, she goes up to the top of the mountain, kadesh sheyipol mimeno v'yamos. So apparently, now the Marasha points this out, that because of the pain that she experiences during birth, she despises her offspring. Therefore, what does she do? She goes up to the mountaintop to give birth. You know that when the offspring comes out, it'll roll off the mountain and die. And Hashem says, what do I do? Vani mazmin lo nesha shemekavlo b'knafav. The moment that the mountain goat gives birth, I have an eagle that comes and receives the young in its wings, umanicho lefanel, and then places the young before its mother. So the idea is, after the birth and after the pain is over, then the mother could come to love the young. But it needs that moment where the eagle swoops in and saves the young. V'omali makdim rega echad, o misacher rega echad. And if the eagle would come one moment later, one moment earlier, so miyad meis, the child would die, the offspring would die. If I'm able to be exact regarding the exact moment that the eagle comes, trust me again, I'm not getting confused between Eov and Oyev. He goes on. So the Gemara says, Cholal Ayolos Tishmar. So again, literally the pangs of the gazelle, I am attentive to. Ayolos Zu Rech Matzar. The gazelle has a very narrow birth canal. So again, really, it almost sounds like what the Gemara is saying over here, is that the birth canal of the gazelle is almost too narrow to allow for a proper birth. So what do I do? At the moment that the gazelle is giving birth, I go ahead and I arrange for a snake to come and to bite the gazelle by the beis rechem, by the womb. And as a result, the womb becomes looser. And ultimately, again, the gazelle is able to give birth. And had the snake come one moment earlier, one moment later, the offspring would die. If I'm able to keep track of the exact moment when the snake comes, trust me, I'm not getting confused with Oyev and Eov. So we'll say, so the Ibon Shalom is giving Eov some exceptionally significant Musar. And he's saying to Eov, your questions presuppose that you understand everything. That Rabbi says an incredible Musar. Because often the questions we have on the Ribono Shel Olam in life come from a place of thinking that we understand the Cheshbonos of Hashem. To which the Ribono Shel Olam is telling Eov, you don't understand me at all. You don't understand me, you don't understand my world, and you don't understand everything that goes on to my running of the world. You see one dimension. Eov, I understand you're in pain, but you're just seeing the freeze frame of your existence. You are not seeing the backstory. You're not seeing the behind the scenes of anything. I run the entire world and I run it with Chachma. So the Gemara goes weiter. Eov lo bedas yidaber v'dvarav lo bahaskel. Eov's words, Rabbosai, were not spoken with wisdom, were not spoken with wisdom, and his words were not spoken with understanding. We'll say, what does this mean? Amar Rava, and it was a very profound statement. Mikan shein adam nitpas b'shas sara. From here you see that people are not held accountable for the words that they say when they are in pain. Look at Rashi, shein adam nitpas, le'ischayiv al shu medaber kasha machma sar v'yisurin, t'kamar lo b'das daber lo amar b'rashi daber ela b'lo b'das. We'll say, so what Rava is saying is, you know, sometimes that people are in incredible pain, they say stuff. They just say things, and you have to learn that if somebody says something when they're in the midst of incredible pain, to sometimes let those words slide, because they're not coming from a place of intellect, they're not coming from a place of logic, they're not coming from a place of reason, but rather they're coming from a place of raw, visceral pain. So sometimes you have to understand that and accept the words for what they are. Vayishmu shloshas rei Iyov, es kol ha-ra'a hazos ha-bo'alov, vayavo ishmim komo. So let's listen to this. Now the Navi says, Iov's three friends heard about the suffering of their friend Iov, and they each came from their respective homes. Who were the friends? Eliphaz Hatemani, Beldad Hashuchi, Zophar HaNaamasi, Vayaodu Yachtav Lavo, Lonud Lo Ulenachamo. So his three friends come from their own respective homes to console him. My Vayaodu Na Yachtav, what does it mean they came together? Amravud Amarav, Melamed Shenichnesu Kulan Bishar Echad. Was amazingly enough, they all showed up in Eov's city through the same gate at the exact same time. V'tana, bein kol echad ve'echad shlosh me'os parsi. So we'll say, but the amazing thing is what? They all lived a very large distance from one another. But yet, despite that, they all showed up at the exact same time. I saw Menahav Yadi. So we'll say, so 1 second. How did they know? Meaning, how did they all know to come to Eov? I know that they all lived far away from Eov. So in Parshas, Eov didn't write them letters telling them all what was going on. So how did they know that Eov was in distress? Well, it's actually a very beautiful Gemara. Ika da Amri Kalila Havalu. So we'll say, some say that each of them had a crown. Now what's the pshat with the crown? Take a look at Rashi. Kalili Havaluhu Kisarim. They each had a crown. Ubechol Keser Shlosha Pertzufim. V'ish es shemo mechokek al pirtzuf, u'kishe bo'in yisurin alechmeh pirtzufim mishtana. Well, isn't how beautiful this is. Each friend had a crown with three faces. Three faces, three names. Those faces were the faces and names of their best friends, their three best friends. And somehow, whenever one of the friends was sad, what would happen? The expression on the image, on the crown, would change. Others say, Iloni. Others say they each planted a tree in honor of their friend, and when the tree would wither, v'cheivan d'chamshi havoyadi. When the tree would wither, they would recognize that what? That the friend was in distress. So I say that's how they all knew that Eov was in distress. So I say, now watch this. Amar Rava, this is an incredible Gemara. Haynu da'ami inshi. This is what people mean when they say, O chavra ki chavre di Eov, either have friends like Eov's friends, o misusa. Or it's better to die. And we'll say, what does that mean? Now remember, this sounds familiar to us. So the Marsha points out over here, he says, you know, the Gemara Maseches Tainis tells the story of Choni HaMa'agel. Choni HaMa'agel was the Choni, the circles drawer, right? Who draw the circle, wouldn't move from the circle. Remember, Choni falls asleep for 70 years. He wakes up and he says the statement, O Chavrusa, O Mitusa. Either give me my friends or give me death. So listen to this. So the Marsha says, Amar Bakan, the lab bechavid al kamina ela kechavri di Eov de ba'u v'nadu kol kach parsoz kedei lenachamo. So we'll say, listen to this. So what the Gemara is adding on over here, it's not just friendship. We'll say, you know what real friendship is? Real friendship are the people who, when you're in trouble and you are in distress, drop everything and come to your need. You know, it's a very important yesod, because we use the word friend very, very liberally. And the truth is, often we use friend and acquaintance synonymously. Oh, I know him, he's my friend. No, the true test of friendship is to be, do I have friends like Eov or not? If I'm in trouble and I'm in need, and again, even if they can't do anything for me per se, because remember, they were going to say there's nothing they could do for Eov, but they came to console him, that's a friendship. So you're a lucky person in life if you have friends like the friends of Eov. So let's listen to this. The Gemara goes on a little bit of a detour. when man began to roam the world, daughters are born to him. We'll say, now this is actually a very dramatic Gemara. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Ravya Ba'li Olam. So what happens when girls come into this world, Ravya, literally, Pirivya, so there's a special bracha of children that come. Having a daughter is a special bracha per rivia. Why? Because when a man has a daughter, not only is he bringing life into this world, but what? She is also going to merit to be capable of bringing life as well. Reish Lakish Amar Mariva Bali Olam. When you bring girls into this world, you bring Mariva, you bring fighting into this world. Now listen, what does that mean, you bring fighting into this world? So again, the Marsha comments on this, and he says, I'm going to read to you one line in the Marsha. He says, Kimosha Kasav, Lo zacha minag daso. We'll say that ultimately, what is this a reference to? This is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu creates Adam and Chava, or he creates Chava. So he says, Es elo ezer kenegdo. So remember again, I will make from a helpmate against him. So Rashi HaKadosh says, zacha ezer, if a man is worthy, then his wife is a helpmate. Lo zacha, if he's not worthy, kenegdo. She is opposite and a contrarian with him. So the Marashah says that's what it's a reference to over here. That when a man has a daughter, that daughter ultimately again could be a potential when she gets married. If her husband is not zocher, if her husband is not righteous, then ultimately what? She could be kenegdo. She could introduce incredible strife, which I will say, by the way, just an incredible yisod, because it teaches you that often the level of shalom bayis that exists within a home is absolutely tied into the man's righteousness. And from, now again, it doesn't absolve the wife of responsibility for shalom bayis, but the relative righteousness of the husband absolutely sets a tone for the shalom bayis, and always going to be an incredible yisod. Amar Rish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan, l'didach ta'amar trivya bali olam, mepnei malo nichpalu benosav shaliyov. So according to you, who says, Rish Rabbi Yochanan, that with the birth of a girl comes additional rivya, comes additional reproduction into this world. So why, when Eo, now we're going to say the end of the Eo story, is that he withstands the theological test, and the Ribbono Shel Olam gives him back all of his brachos, including his children. So why isn't Eo given twice as many daughters? Amar lo, to which Rabbi Yochanan responds, Nihid lo nichpalu b'shemos, aval nichpalu b'yofi. It's true that ultimately, again, Eov is not given twice as many daughters, but the daughters that he is given were twice as beautiful as the ones he had before. Dichsiv, vahi lo shivan abanim, v'shalosh banos. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Vayikra shema achas, he called one of his daughters Yemima, v'shema shenis ketzia, v'shema shlishis Karen Hafoch. So the first daughter was named Yemima, second daughter was Ketzia, third daughter was Karen Hafoch. So Yemima, why did he name his daughter Yemima? She was as beautiful or as radiant as the day. Ketzia, Shayarecha Nodev Ki Ketzia. Why did he name her Ketzia? Because she was as fragrant as Keisha wood. Karen Hafoch, I was saying, that's interesting. Karen Hafoch, what does it mean? Upside down horn. Amrit Yerim Shila, Shedoma Lakarna de Keresh. She resembled ultimately again the horn of an animal. So the Mara says, "Mechaycha leMarava, Karna the Kereshakusi, a girl who looks like the horn of an animal, that is not exactly a compliment." Ela Amrav Chista, Kekurma deRishka. Rather, what it means is she was like garden saffron, and garden saffron is most beautiful and fragrant of all plants. Shneimar ki tikrai bapoch. Reb Shimon Berebi is yalda leibarta. Let's listen to this. Reb Shimon Berebi had a daughter. Mazel tov. Havaka chalish daiti. He was upset. He was upset that he had a daughter, not a son. Amali avua rivya bali olam. His father said to him, "Don't be upset, because with the birth of a daughter, rivya, not only have you brought life, but you've brought the future bearer of life into this world as well." Amrolei Bar Kafra. So Bar Kafra, Bosei, said to Reb Shimon, "Dan chumit shel hevel nicha avoch. Ah, your father is trying to console you with nothingness. Because having a daughter," he said, "is not an easy thing. Desanya, I ashali olam below scharim below nekevos. It is impossible for the world to exist without men, without boys and girls. Ela ashrei mi shabanav zecharim. Ay lo lemi shabanav nekevos. Praiseworthy is the one who is blessed with sons. Woe to the one who is blessed with daughters. It is impossible for the world to exist without perfumers and without tanners. Ashrei Misha Umnasa Busmi, Oilo Misha Umnasa Borsi. So woe to, right, praiseworthy is one who is a perfumer. Woe to the one who is a tanner. Now, we'll say, now what does this mean? What does this mean? Woe to the one who is a, so we'll say, this is a very simple pshat with this. I say this as the father of four daughters. Right? So we'll say, I think it's a very simple pshat. The pshat is, every father of daughters know that the worry you have with daughters is multiple times more than the worry you have with sons. The way just the derech ha'olam is, person has a son, so what's going to happen? You know, whatever, the boy's going to find his way. Whatever it's going to be, it's going to be. He's going to be fine. He's going to be fine. He can take care of himself. It's all right. You know what? If he gets teased a little bit in school, it's going to be all right. And if he gets a little roughed up, he's, you know what? He'll find his way. A daughter, a father has a preoccupation with the safety and well-being of his daughter. And it never stops. It begins from when they're young, and then it goes on in every single stage, to the point that literally the worry about a daughter is something that sits on a parent's mind every single moment of every single day, and is just dramatically different. So Chazal are saying, listen, at the end of the day, that is a heavy load to live with. And it's a heavy preoccupation, and it's a heavy worry to live with. So at the end of the day, if a person doesn't have to have that preoccupation and worry, so tavala bracha, wonderful, you're very lucky. Is it a great bracha to have a daughter? Of course it is. But the emotional baggage of worry that it comes with is something ultimately that is all-consuming. And I'll show you the proof to this. Kitanoi, let's listen to this. Vashem birachas Avram bakol. God blessed Avram with everything. My bakol. What does it mean with everything? So Rav Meir Amar Shalom Haisalov Bas. So Meir says, God gave Avram the greatest blessing, namely, he didn't have a daughter. He didn't have to have the preoccupation or about having a daughter. Rabbi Huda Omer, Shaisalov Bas. No, let's listen to this. Rabbi Huda says that he gave him the ultimate bracha, that what, that he had a daughter. I will say, listen to this. Achirim Omrim Bas Haisalov Avram Ubakol Shema. Avram Avinu did have a daughter, and you know what? Her name was Bakol. That was her name. But I'll just tell you something amazing. Just so you should know, Rav Shashna Farharsh asks on this Gemara. He says, how can you say, Vashem Beirachis Avram Bakol, means that Avram wasn't given a daughter? How can Chazal say such a thing? I mean, that's such a strong bracha. God gave Avram Avinu everything. Rav Hirsch says something amazing. How can you say that God blessed Avram Bakol, he didn't have a daughter? What does it mean? He says something amazing. He says, if Avram Avinu had a daughter, do you understand what his greatest problem would have been? Or what would have been his greatest problem? Who would he marry her off to? Who would he marry her off to? So says Rav Hirsch, the fact that he did not have to worry about a shidduch in a Gentile society of a daughter to a Gentile man, or to an idolatrous man, I should say, was the greatest bracha the Ribono Shel Olam could have given Avram Avinu. Ayin Sham, you'll take a look at that Rav Hirsch. He goes on. Rabbi Elazar with the Omer. It's Taninos Haisa B'Livo Shel Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was blessed with an incredible knowledge of astrology. So he says, Shako Malchi Mizrach Amar Mashkim L'Pisco. All of the kings of the east and west would wake up early to come to his entrance, to come to his home, in order to understand astrology. Avram Avinu had a beautiful radiant stone that used to hang on his neck. Any person who was ill, who looked upon this stone, would become immediately healed. When Avram Avinu died, God took that stone and literally he placed it in the sun. So Amar Abaye, this is what people mean when they say when the sun comes up, when the day is lifted, so sickness is healed. What does it mean? God blessed Avram Avinu Bakol, that Esav did not rebel. Esav did not go off the derech during the days when Avram Avinu was alive. Dover Acher, Shasi Yishmael Chuviyama. Another possibility is, what do you mean God blessed Avram Avinu Bakol? That Yishmael did tshuva during the lifetime of Avram Avinu. Shalom Marat Esav Yamav Minalan. How do you know that Esav did not rebel while Avram Avinu was still alive? Dichsev, Vayavo Esav Minasadu Oyev. Pasuk says, Esav came from the field and he was tired. What does that mean? Vatana Osayom Niftar Avram Avinu. That day when Esav came back from the field and he was tired, that was the day that Avram Avinu died. And again, on that day, Yaakov had made lentils in order to give his father the meal of consolation. Why did Yaakov make Yitzchak a lentils? Why is lentils the food of mourners? Ma'adasha zu ein lo peh. Just like Rabbi said, the lentil has no peh, has no opening. Af aval ein lo peh. So Rabbi say, so often the aval, the mourner, also has nothing to say. The aval is often so overwhelmed by their loss that they have no words. Dover acher, the other possibility is, ma'adasha zu migulgeles. Rabbi say, just like this lentil is round, af avelus migulgeles umachzeres al ba'eolum. So Rabbi say, so too, the dynamic of mourning is round, is like a round circle, and it comes upon everyone. Everyone experiences avelus at some point in time. Rabbi say, my benayu. Rabbi say, what's the nafkamina between these two approaches? In other words, again, remember, we've now espoused two reasons why an avel eats lentils. Either because what? It has no opening, no peh, and therefore an avel has no words, or because it's round, and the dynamic of avelus really comes upon every person. What's the nafkamina between those two approaches? Lenachunim bebei. Rabbi say, can you use eggs? Can you use eggs for the avel's meal? If you understand that the symbolism is that it has to be a food that has no opening because the avel has no mouth, then you could use eggs. But if it's about the roundness, the circularity of the avelos dynamic, then you cannot use eggs because ultimately eggs are not round. It would have to be something that's literally circular. So we'll stop over here for today. We're going to pick up in Meretz Hashem right here tomorrow with the Gemara about what happened on the day that Avraham Avinu died and Esav's unfortunately departure into very evil ways.